the T3 podcast in association with the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 with Timescape. See your calls, texts, emails, tweets, and updates all together on one screen. See it in store or visit sonyericsson.com/X10. Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, serving at pod style since 2007 BC. Coming up on this week's show, Steve Jobs lets us into a secret.
I'll actually tell you kind of a secret.
We'll hear more, including why he doesn't like Flash and why PCs are like trucks. Sony shows us its mini DSLRs and 3D shooting. And move over iPad, the E-pad is here. It's got USB ports and everything. Plus, you tell us what's the most annoying tech habit, all that plus more. So let me introduce two men with plenty of annoying habits, the splendiferous Chris Smith and the man who embodies the T3 dream. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hi, greetings.
How are you all this week? You're both looking a bit queasy, actually.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit peculiar, but I think it's just three consecutive days of sunshine doesn't agree with me.
Yeah. I think I got tonsillitis. I think it's coming on.
Oh, man. So I'm locked in a studio. With tonsillitis and sick boy over here.
It's the ill club with ill behaviour.
I think maybe it's because cycling in really hot weather and I haven't been eating more. I think I might have undernourished myself.
Okay. I've got to do a 5K on Sunday.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is that some sort of drugs reference? Oh, yeah, you mentioned this before.
I may collapse. I'm hoping for like cloud and...
Yeah, it's going to be warm one.
A nice breeze. Oh, yeah. That'd be good for Sunday, please. Anyway, Doug, another week, another 7 days on this crazy planet we call Earth. Any scores you'd like to settle with the big man this week?
Yes. Mm. I booked this low-cost cruise to the Gaza Strip and halfway through... No, that didn't happen. It was my favourite rude email of the week.
Hey!
I couldn't make this a regular feature, actually. Rude email of the week, usually written by me, but it's Nicolas Chartier, who actually makes a bit of a habit of rude emails, because he was the one emailed... The Oscar, he's the producer of The Hurt Locker, I should say.
Oh.
And he emailed the Oscar committee saying, you don't want to vote for any of those shitty, you don't want to vote for one of those shitty other films. You want to vote for The Hurt Locker this year. Anyway, now, The Hurt Locker, I looked this up, had an $11 million budget film, $11 million budget film, which isn't all that high, but it's only recouped $12.6 million at the US box office.
Oh, really?
And apparently it's been illegally downloaded 1.5 million times. So that would almost double the gross if people are actually paid rather than illegally downloading it. So they are suing individuals.
Oh,
they're trying to track
on.
Down every single person. Well, they're starting with the people who have distributed it, sort of through seeding it or whatever. But yeah, 5,000 people are getting letters in the post saying that'd be, you know... £1,000, please.
Yeah, well, that's off up.
Now we've won the Oscar. It's worth more, so in fact, it'll be £2,000. And brilliant. I always love the way this. We've mentioned it quite a lot on this, actually. The way these things are always reported, because the media, to get a balanced view on this, went to the guy who set up Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
Who said, this is ridiculous because it's just bullying the fans. Because it's been shown that all this illegal downloading actually means that profits go up.
Right.
Which is actually a ridiculous thing to say in this particular case, because this has been a very poorly grossing film that's been universally critically acclaimed. So in a way, if there's one single film which disproves this rule of thumb, which probably is correct a lot of the time, but if there's one film that does disprove this rule of thumb, it's this one.
Actually, I almost downloaded it on Virgin the other night, which would have meant paying for it.
Well, you're okay.
But my brother-in-law was with me, and he'd already seen it.
Well, it's a good film.
So curse him, Hurt Locker.
Anyway, Nicolas Chartier, somebody emailed him. Saying, well, so why are you suing all these people? And so he emailed back and said, I actually like to pay my employees, my family, my bank for their work. I'm glad you're a moron who believes stealing is right, and I hope your family and your kids all end up in jail.
Oh.
Until then, keep being stupid. You're doing that very well.
It was kind of all right till the I hope your family and kids end up in jail.
Yeah. That's bring the kids into it, man.
And then he says, please do not download, rent, or pay for my movies. I like smart people to watch my films. Lots of love, Nicholas.
Maybe that's why it hasn't grossed very well in the US.
No, he's American.
Is Mr. Chartier a French...
That's just how I chose to pronounce his name. I've no idea how you...
Chartier.
It might be Nicolas Chartier, or it might be Nicolas...
Chartier.
He might be Canadian, I suppose.
Maybe.
French-Canadian.
He could be Quebecian with a crazy French accent.
Yeah, he could be Quebecois.
Yeah. No. Anyway, enough of that.
It's a good film. Anyway, I recommend you download it.
Yeah, I think I will.
Legally.
Now that my brother-in-law's gone home. Anyway, on to our top story. And it is Steve Jobs spilling all at the D All Things Digital 2010 conference, or D8 for short. It's the same stage he shared with Bill Gates 3 years ago at D5, indeed. This time he was there to talk all things iPad, PC and Flash, among others. There was actually some juicy stuff in this interview. It was kind of an insight into Steve Jobs' soul.
Was it actually an interview? Because I've only seen his responses, if you know.
Yeah,
what I mean.
it was with Walt Mossberg and some other woman who seemed less eminent.
On the fact that she's a woman, Dan?
No, but Walt's
misogynist,
the big man, isn't he?
Misogynist.
You know? Yeah.
Hater.
Was this the same event where the woman from Yahoo told the guy who runs TechCrunch to swear word editor to f*** off? Was that the same?
Who knows? Not me.
But that's two consecutive interesting things to happen at electronic symposium in the last 2 weeks.
I only watched the Steve Jobs bit, but it was good. There's lots. If anyone's interested in the full shebang, there's lots of excerpts on YouTube.
Yeah.
We'll have a listen to some of them on Flash first, and this is a condensed version of the pretty robust rant really that he made. Anyway, let's have a listen.
Flash looks like a technology that had its day, but is waning. And HTML5 looks like the technology that's really on the ascendancy right now. We didn't start off to have a war with Flash or anything else. We think we're not going to use it. And that was it.
What if people say the iPad is crippled?
People seem to be liking iPads. We've sold one every 3 seconds since we launched it. If the market tells us we're making the wrong choices, we listen to the market. If we succeed, they'll buy them. And if we don't, they won't.
Why is he talking like... Why does he always talk like someone squeezing his balls when he's talking?
Yeah.
So, I don't exactly disagree with what he says.
Well, he's basically saying, look, it's selling like hotcakes. It's not got Flash.
Yeah, it's a fair and robust defense that he makes there. You just can't argue with the success of Apple's products. You know, you can say, well, I'd rather had Flash, but I think people still buy it anyway. So.
It's only putting off people like us who kind of go, this is a phenomenal device for the internet, yet it can't run, you know, it just will flat out not run 10% or whatever the figure is of websites out there. And that,
well, the
that,
little
to me,
video bits of them anyway. Yeah.
Not just video. I mean, there's some entire websites built in Flash, you know, and it's kind of that. To, like Walt said, you know, crippled. That's the word I would use. You know,
no, I wouldn't use that word. But I would use the word hindered. I mean, I wouldn't buy an iPad for various reasons. But I don't. You just can't argue with the fact that they are selling extremely well. Mm. Maybe people are getting them home who don't really know what they're buying, and they're like, I can't actually look at a load of the website. But
I think there's an element of
But they don't seem to be hurtling back to the shops.
No,
so
I don't think anyone's not bought one because there's no Flash on it.
Me?
Would you?
Well,
that'd
be
anyway,
one
though.
Of the things. I mean, that and multitasking.
It's kind of one of the things that's tipping me against it.
Yeah,
you know.
And my laptop is knackered. Oh, I've got a thing.
Go on.
Laptoppowerforyou.co.uk.
Right.
Don't buy anything from those slags. That's my top
tip.
I thought
it was going to be a little plug for the for them.
Yeah, a little plug would have been a good bloody thing. But no, 15 quid flushed down the car,
really?
Sadly, in my particular case. Well, it's just a place that sells laptop chargers, and my laptop charger's kaput.
What did they send?
I need
you,
a
like
new
a rubbish one.
They sent me an out. Sent me an email saying, we have processed your order, it's been sent. Nothing arrived, so I emailed them saying, so hey, where's the charger, guys? Didn't even bother replying to it.
That's terrible.
I know, I'd at least send a reply saying, get knotted, baldy, or whatever. Anyway, it was just, like, couldn't even be bothered to reply.
I feel we've strayed from the track.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Now you've got that off your chest. We'll move on to the iPad itself. We alluded to that little secret.
I'll actually tell you kind of a secret. I actually started on the tablet first. I had this idea of being able to get rid of the keyboard, type on a multi-touch glass display. And I asked our folks, could we come up with a multi-touch display that we could type on, I could rest my hands on and actually type on. When I saw the rubber band inertial scrolling and a few of the other things, I thought, my God,
we can build a phone out of this. And I put the tablet project on the shelf.
Why is he underwater?
The phone was more important.
Yeah, he put the tablet on the shelf because the phone was more important.
I thought that was common knowledge, actually.
Great phrase in there. What was it? Rubber band inertial scrolling.
Yeah, that's what I always call it. I thought it was generally known that the iPhone, grew out of a tablet thing, and the tablet was always
Steve's baby. I think essentially
that's
him on record saying it. You know, we were working on a tablet. We saw the technology, realized it would make a phone, and that became the priority. You know,
not so much of a secret then. That's typical Apple, actually, reselling you something you don't really need a second time whilst making out it's something brand new. And the cynical might say, I wouldn't say that.
Not you, Dunk.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that.
I'm still angling for a free iPad. So.
It's kind of interesting because when he actually launched the iPhone, he kind of praised the computer interface. He sort of said, you know, he was dissing phones, and then he said, well, we solved this, you know, 20 years ago with a computer. We got a bitmap screen and a mouse, and that works brilliantly.
Mm.
And actually, all the while, according to him, you know, he was working on trashing the mouse and the screen as we know it and coming up with a whole new interface.
Yeah. Well, you see, because that's where I think maybe Steve Jobs' messianic vision slightly breaks down, because I quite like keyboards and not having to type on a piece of glass. And
he's like a massive revisionist, basically, isn't he? Like,
he seems to be changing the game before, you know, everyone's ready for that. But you know, by being there, by being first, kind of steering the way it's going.
Yeah,
you know, that's a big advantage for Apple, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the guy's a genius, isn't he? That's why he gets away with being an asshole. He, like me.
Yeah,
you know.
He was banging on about, you know, getting rid of the floppy disk, and everyone was up in arms then, and, you know.
The thing is, what people often forget with Apple is they always introduce new and, shall we say, off-the-beaten-track ideas. They don't always stick with them, and some are shuffled off into the file marked never to be mentioned again. I mean, like, the first iMacs didn't have any removable storage at all. It didn't have an optical drive.
Yeah.
Obviously, didn't have a floppy drive because they were verboten. But that, because that wasn't such a great idea. Because the idea with that was, you'll just send all your files by email. And this was in the days of dial-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't talk about that one, do they? And, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The Newton.
The iMac. I mean, that sold bazillions as
He did talk about the PC. I find this one pretty interesting, actually, because it gets to the heart of how I'm feeling about the iPad. This was him, as I say, on the PC, and where things are going with the tablet.
PCs are going to be like trucks. They're still going to be around. They're still going to have a lot of value, but they're going to be used by one out of X people. And this transformation is going to make some people uneasy. People from the PC world, like you and me. It's going to make us uneasy because the PC's taken us a long ways. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean,
the beginning of that analogy, which we missed off, was that when America was being built, everybody had trucks.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
And then as roads and things were built, people didn't have trucks, they had cars.
When America moved on from its agrarian society,
yeah,
everyone got cars and SUVs and whatever else they drive in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Segways.
He wasn't literally comparing the PCs to trucks in the sense that...
No, but what he was saying was, you know, the truck, they're still around, but now, you know, most people drive something else, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's one answer to what I was just saying.
But what he was saying there, it kind of describes how I feel about the iPad. I feel like I should be resisting it, and I feel like I should be embracing it. You know,
maybe when people started to get rid of trucks, if all that was available was like 2-seater sports cars, cars wouldn't have caught on quite so quickly. So maybe that's... To extend that already rather stretched analogy into even more, the
PC version of the tablet's coming out, isn't it? We'll be getting that next year. Delve launched their Android-based tablet. I mean, that we're going to get that diversity, you know, different types for different sorts. But essentially, what he's leading to is that look, your PC, it's still going to be around, but it's going to be the, you know, the 10%, and your main, you know, device is going to be a tablet, which...
Well, he may very well be correct. I mean, that's the thing, because, I mean, we always look at it from, I don't know, slightly sort of rarefied perspective. I mean, I've got a great big iMac, which I like, because it's, I don't know, because it's got a really big screen, and I don't mind having to be sat at a desk to use it. But most people obviously would rather be wandering around doing all sorts of other things and not having to be shackled to
I feel with the iPad, I feel we've gone from slugging it off and taking the piss out of it, it's not got USB ports or whatever, to kind of crumbling resistance. I don't know. I was in Westfield Shopping Centre, which has a great big Apple store, and you couldn't actually get to the iPads. It was just, you know, it was kind of three deep. And I was out on the balcony outside the Apple store, and I was kind of looking down, and I saw someone typing on a laptop, and it looked so dated, you know. It's like, my God, you know, already I'm kind of looking at a laptop now and going, phew, you know. And for someone who, you know, of the T3 ilk, that, you know, it means, okay, it's time to move on. You know, it's time to ditch the laptop.
I've got to be honest, I still feel exactly the same about it as I felt a few months before it came out and for its launch and ever since, which is that it's like a really nice thing that I don't particularly want.
I mean, we've tried, haven't we? We've spent weeks and weeks and weeks playing with it and trying to come up with this universal purpose for it, and why, just basically like trying our hardest, racking our brains to figure out why we need this device. And at the moment, we kind of just don't, and we might never need it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm beginning more and more to feel that it's not going to be that you know, the tablet, it's where it's going. It's inevitable. You know, if you want to get on board now, fine, or wait, they'll improve. You know, you'll find more uses.
I mean, how are they going to improve to the point where you can write, where you can actually type like an article or type like a something that's longer than an email? Because I don't know, like the touchscreens aren't going to get much better than.
Well,
than
that. Give it time. Give it time. But I mean, we've just reviewed the iPad. Mm-hmm. What was the broad conclusion?
Well, we've reviewed it twice. We sort of re-reviewed it.
So good,
the 3G model. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
3G model came out. It was kind of a bit kind of, well, if you want 3G, get it. It was a bit, it didn't quite come down on the whether you need 3G or not. It was sort of...
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Well, I think a lot of the reviews of the 3G one have been slightly slanted by the fact that Apple keep on banging on about how it's a thing that you just would have at home, in which case you don't need 3G. So I don't know. Yeah, I think...
Yeah, I
think 3G is pretty much essential, really.
Yeah,
but,
definitely. I wouldn't have one.
Apparently that's not how you're meant to see it, so I don't know.
Well, it's almost like the iPad is the thing, as you say, you're using the, you know, on the city, and your iPhone is the thing you use when you're out and about, you know, that kind of...
Maybe this is the idea. Yeah. Well, this is the thing, because Apple always have to just overly rigidize everything, and it's, they always have this vision of, like, iPad at the door and pick up...
As I say, you can have a listen to lots more of Steve Jobs on YouTube. Just type in Steve Jobs and D8. But other things have been happening in the world of tech, so let me say... Here is the news. Sony's launched its shrunken alpha DSLRs, the tiny Nex 3 and the equally diminutive Nex 5. Designed to compete with the likes of the Olympus Pen, they pack some interesting features, including Sony's lush panoramic sweep mode and high-quality video.
But what really tickled our fancy is the inclusion of a 3D stills mode for producing 3D snaps to view on your new telly or a special photo viewer on your PC. Imagine what the sun could do with Page 3 with that.
Not to be outdone by Apple, Asus has officially unveiled the ePad. The wraps have come off the 10 and 12-inch models at Taiwan's Computex. They run Windows 7 and, get this, have two USB ports.
They boast a similar 10-hour battery life and a special Core 2 Duo processor from Intel. Top feature over the iPad is a front-facing camera for full-on Skype video calling action. Expect them early next year.
And while screens everywhere have been getting bigger, Motorola's been busy shrinking it. It's officially announced that its latest slightly bonkers Android device, the square-shaped Flip-Out, will be coming to the UK.
Yep, as well as the usual Android phone fare, it features a 2.8-inch, nearly square touchscreen that hides behind a Flip-Out QWERTY keyboard with a 3-megapixel camera and flash. It'll be around this summer on Orange.
Yes, it will.
I played with that yesterday.
It's a funny-looking thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a go with it. It's.
Does it work?
It's all right. It's kind of... I mean... It seems that the Motorola aren't going to release the Quench or the Backflip here, which both seemed like really, really cool ideas. And the Dext wasn't really that good. And this is going to be following on from the Dext. And it's fun. And it's, I don't know, the screen's not very nice on it. And I don't know.
It's not that high res. And that, screen ratio, does that mess around with things? Or
A little bit in terms of just, I don't know. I just found that it didn't render pictures very well or anything. And... You know, they've got that Motorola interface where they have happenings. Yeah. So it's Twitter messages and everything. All the pictures are completely, completely pixelated and horrible, horrible. And we talked to the guy yesterday. He was just like, well, yeah, we don't really think that that's people will mind that. And I was like, yes, they bloody well will, but...
It's like a 4:3 screen, is it? Squarish.
It's pretty... It's like square. 320 by 480.
Old school.
It might have been 320 by 280, I think, is it?
Is it?
Yeah. I remember thinking it was pretty low res. Anyway, time to see what you've been tweeting to T3DOTCOM. Duncan.
First a complaint. AG112 tweets... This is true. I thought this at the time. Chris said in the podcast, there were 18 lists. This is the T3 Awards. 18 lists with 10 gadgets per list. And he said, and that's 280 in total. But technically, 10 times 18 is 180.
AG112, I'm an idiot, so don't really worry about that.
Carol Vorderman, you are not.
I am not. I'm not Carol Vorderman. Yeah, that's a mistake. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There was quite a long gap between...
Definitely 180.
Like you said the thing about there was 10 and there was 18 in each, or vice versa. And then a couple of minutes later, you said 280 in total, I think. So I see. You literally said 10 times 18 is 280.
And we all nodded in agreement. Chris, what have you got?
Yeah, OMK17 is getting excited about the Asus iPad. iPad who, he tweets? This seems more like it.
Well, you're going to have to wait a while, actually, because it's not coming out until next year. Zetha is still making up his / her mind up about the iPad. I'm tempted, but I'm trying to resist to see what the competition and next-gen version are like. Not sure I can hold out, though.
Hang in there, Zetha.
Kind of perhaps similar to how I'm feeling, I don't know.
Let's all hold hands and resist for a year and see where it goes.
Yeah, I think it'll take 11 months, isn't it?
Anyway, Chris, time to see what you've brought for your Gadget of the Week.
Yeah, well, we spoke about... I love the little... we spoke about it in the news, and I've got with me the Sony NEX5.
It's right there. I'm really pleased you brought this along. I've been desperate to get my hands on one of these.
Well,
actually.
By all means, get your hands on it.
First thoughts, I've got to say, it's kind of... It's really small, which is the whole point.
Yeah.
But is it too small? What do you reckon?
I don't know. It is kind of really, really dinky. I found when I was first holding onto it, that it doesn't give you as much good grippage as it does on the... Yeah. I wouldn't be comfortable taking one-handed kicks with that.
There's a big... it's dominated on one side by the grip.
Yeah.
But because the camera isn't very high, if that makes sense, I can only actually perch two fingers on that grip.
That's the thing with the pen there. You can probably get your paws around that, can't
Because
you?
The whole thing is so... unbalanced.
It does have a socking great,
great
lens,
big
on,
lens
it,
on the front. Yeah. It's just the grip. It just doesn't feel like I'm holding this right.
It just looks weird, doesn't it? Like it's such a departure from the other Alpha things. Alpha cams.
I'm impressed by how quickly it takes pictures. There's not really much of a lag, and I'm taking these, things like that are nice. Sony have done a nice job as well of kind of making some of the controls more friendly.
Yeah.
So aperture, they've renamed background defocus, which is essentially, in layman's terms, what, fiddling around with the aperture will do for you. So, that's quite nice.
It's a nice interface. I noticed on that as well. Did you try and play around
with it? Yeah, I've had a play around. I mean, I use Alpha DSLRs. So, to me, it's a bit like in simplifying everything, they've removed all the buttons that I like and the dials that I tweak and things like that. So, for me, it's a bit, it's not quite what I want, but I imagine for someone who's new to you can hear actually.
That's just quite
put,
a burst
just,
mode.
Just put that next to the mic and give that. Yeah, that's pretty speedy.
How many was that? That was a good.
That was
20.
It's kind of it's. I think that's a great camera for someone who wants to take nice pictures and can't be faffed with learning. Everything about a full blown DSLR.
So I guess the pictures are good, aren't they? I mean, obviously. You'd expect, is that like an Alpha lens?
They're really nice
for a new range.
Well, it's a shrunk. It will take the Sony Alpha lenses, and by that stretch, it'll take the old Minolta lenses, which is great. But because it uses a different autofocus system to Sony Alphas, it won't autofocus with those lenses on. So you've got to buy the specialist lenses if you want autofocus, which really with a camera like that, you do.
The Exmoor ones are kind of the same as the ones on the camcorders, aren't they? On the Handycam ones.
Yeah, it's got the...
They use them in all their compact cameras.
Yeah. The other great thing about the camera is it is a very good camcorder. Because you've got such sweet lenses that you can interchange, but the whole processor, the way it works, you know, it is better than the previous crop of, you know, these types of cameras, the pen and the, you know, all the four thirds kind of cameras.
It's got a great shooting video, tilting screen as well. It tilts both ways. I'd look at it as a non camera expert or even a camera user particularly. I'd look at it from a different point of view, which is that unlike the Panasonic GF1 or the pen. That actually is compact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all the Micro Four Thirds, like supposed sort of DSLR style cameras that are compact, are not at all compact. That actually is.
Mm. And stick a pancake lens on that, and you've got a tiny, very definitely. Powerful
camera. You actually
could
put that in a pocket, well, a coat pocket.
If you didn't have that lens on.
With this particular lens on, you'd need a very large pocket.
Is that a Sony NAX5 in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?
Hey. But it's a nice looking thing. I mean, Sony, you know, they make nice looking things, don't they? And it's a reasonably priced, about 500 quid, something like that.
Six, I think it's 600.
More like
it?
Six, yeah.
Which, it's gorgeous, though.
Same sort
it's
of gorgeous. Pricing as the Micro Four Thirds one, isn't it?
Yeah, and same sort of pricing as a full-blown DSLR, so...
That is true.
You've got to really want a compact camera.
Horses
to
courses.
As opposed to, you know...
I would go for that over any of the alternatives.
Mm, whereas I think I wouldn't, but, you know, that's probably... Just reflects the you know the way we approach photography.
Exactly.
The pen and stuff's got this.
I don't know anything about it.
Really nice kind of. It doesn't really have that same retro feel as the other ones though. So.
Yeah, but I quite like that. You know, it's like all the others are sort of trying to hark back to something.
I guess so.
This is just, you know, let's design a camera that works. You know.
This is our cool camera.
It looks modern. Yeah.
It looks really Sony, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically. very. It's a nice looking thing. And we've got what little previews of these up on teeth.com.
There's a hands-on at the moment, and it's going to be reviewed very shortly. Shortly, so okay.
All right. Well,
enjoy.
Take a look. We can get the final verdict. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Chris. Now, last week we announced the start of the voting in the T3 Awards to get us from the long list to the short list. Let's have a closer look at one of the hot categories. Phone of the year.
Yep.
What have we got in phone of the year? Well, all the usual suspects, I imagine.
Yeah, we've got three HTC designed phones. We've got the Lexus and the Legend, the Nexus One, which of course is the Google one, and the Desire as well. So those three are going to be definitely in the running. And then
3GS,
but that could be replaced by the, or indeed joined by the iPhone 4, right, Duncan, when that comes out?
I think that's a shoe-in, I'd imagine.
Okay, iPhone 4. And then we'll have the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 is in there too. And Samsung Wave is up for grabs as well.
The X10 I like, but it's just, for me, it's too big. You know, it's
massive. It's
a great phone, but
I like the fact that they sponsored our podcast. They're absolutely. Have you noticed they're absolutely marketing the living crap out of that phone?
Yeah, I mean, Sony
Ericsson. Yeah, I don't know if they almost see it not as a last throw of the dice. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but obviously their phones haven't been quite as rapturously received as they might have been. But
they've got a challenge in their hands to get themselves back up there in smartphone terms with, you know, now HTC, Motorola are getting bigger with smartphones.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Apple and everything. Sony Ericsson used to be with the P9 or whatever it was, you know, going back in the day.
Yeah.
They were real smartphone innovators, big boys.
Yeah, I know.
They're going about it the right way because they've come up with quite a nice interface for that.
Yeah, they want to get back to that. Yeah,
but it's an okay phone, but it's. I mean, well, they're advertising a lot.
They are. Well,
to the point of advertising it on this very podcast,
they've got a lot of money to go around. Like some of the events we went to last year in the run up to promoting the phone and the W995 as well. They really have got a few quid to spend on stuff, so they don't really do things by halves. Like that W995, so many events we went to last year covering that, like celeb interviews
and
what
they're making. You know, they made a kind of big loss last year, laying people off left, right, and center. You just wonder how much longer they can sustain the kind of high spend approach.
Let's not complain about it too much.
Let's keep drinking the pre-alcohol. HTC, I mean, they won it last year.
HTC Mini's in there as well. Yeah. So that's four HTC design phones. That's a really impressive performance from them.
Does that mean they've got four times the chance of winning? Or?
Well, I think two of their phones will be very, very much at the higher end of the consideration with the Legend and the Desire. But
yeah, you reckon that they'll be the two going forward in the
I reckon
shortest.
So. What do you reckon, Dunk?
I still think the Desire.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you preferred the Legend to begin with, didn't you?
I think I still do, but that one doesn't seem to have quite captured the public's attention. Well, I don't know. It just basically doesn't seem to be as easy to buy, as available to buy as the Desire.
It's strange, isn't it?
Shops
I've started hearing people talk about HTC. You know, in that you're at a wedding or whatever, and people are talking about phones or whatever. Yeah. The fun people I hang around with. But just overhearing, when you start overhearing random people talking about HTC, they've crossed some sort of, you know, line.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. I mean, they're probably
Rubicon or whatever, because, you know, people talk about iPhones and Apple and everything, but not about many other phones.
Yeah.
And the fact that HTC, which has come from nothing, you know, to being talked about at weddings, in my anecdotal way,
yeah, yeah,
to me, you know, is impressive.
Something I'd like to see in there as well, perhaps as the year goes on, but the Dell Streak. I know it's kind of a tablet and kind of a smartphone as well, but I had a play with that last week, and it's not on the long list, obviously, but it is fantastic. It's awesome, well, I think.
You can vote it in.
I think we should try and get that in
start
there.
Let's start a Facebook campaign.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll there's a video of that Dell Streak on the site. Like, definitely check it out, because I mean, it's wicked.
That's got to have a problem with this category, because is it a phone? Is it a tablet? You know.
Yeah, I'd guess so, but... It makes voice calls, It's a tablet as well. So, you know, it definitely could be used as a phone.
The 3GS, I don't think could win this, but...
No, I think it could, funnily enough, just because people have... Well, it's got a lot of fans, isn't it?
And this year, I mean, last year, everything was kind of... A lot of the votes had taken place by the time people really got their hands on the 3GS, and there was a big... There was a kind of, oh man, well, they haven't really done that much to it. People were expecting more, and it turned out being a bit of a disappointment in the end. But
well, I just feel that it's, you know, it's now quite old. Any kind of buzz, excitement about it is probably evaporated a bit. But
that's not the way awards work, though, is it? But I think what will happen is when the iPhone 4 gets added to the list, which I assume it will, unless something disastrous happens,
if it's impressive enough, it could have a chance. If it's just an update, then it'll sink like a stone, I think, when it comes to the awards. But if it's something, you know, really phenomenal, then it could well be taking it away.
Even though it's not in the list at the moment, it's got to be the favourite, I guess, because I think we're going to see some things on the iPhone this time that really go beyond just a little bit of an update. We're going to see that front-loaded camera, we're going to see HD video, perhaps we're going to see a... you know, a different class of screen, things that really push it onto that next level.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. That's what we need, because the 3GS was a tweak in my book.
Indeed.
So iPhone 4, we need more.
But for the first time, the bar has really been raised for Apple in the year that they've been out of the way. Yeah, so, absolutely. You know, it's going to be interesting. Next week, though, isn't it? Next is Monday.
Yeah, not far away now.
No.
I think, to be honest, that's just a perception thing, though, really. The 3GS might have seemed a bit unexciting after the 3G, but I think most people would have taken it over pretty much any other phone that came out last year. It's just that there wasn't a great deal to talk about, because they'd pretty much nailed it with the 3G.
I mean, interface-wise, though, things have really moved on in terms of multitasking. And you can kind of...
Multitasking and being able to customize it. The thing about the iPhone is it really locks you down, you know, and that's what's great about Android.
Maybe. I think people make too much of that.
We'll see, won't we?
We will. Before we go, we asked you about the most... when I say you, I mean the T3 audience, about the most annoying tech habits. They've replied. This is to help next month's T3 with its complete gentleman's guide to tech. Do you know what's top on the voting so far? It's quite a long list of annoying tech habits.
Plenty of annoying habits out there, isn't there?
Is it... Oh, I can tell. Bluetooth headsets, they're always unpopular.
Since you're reading the script.
No, I'm not. I'm reading this list of bad tech habits.
Oh, that's what I assumed you were glancing at my notes. But yeah, it is actually. It is wearing Bluetooth headsets. 19% leading the way.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do people honestly wear those anymore?
Not so much, but people still do, and it is still annoying.
Yeah. I suppose it does mean, now that fewer people do, it's even less acceptable.
Yes.
So that if you do see someone wearing Bluetooth...
Although, maybe, who knows? Yeah, maybe it's got to the point where it's becoming almost like the underdog thing, and it's going to be cool.
Maybe so, yeah.
We need to keep our finger on the zeitgeist on this one. But yeah, for my money, it's still pretty annoying.
I was quite pleased that what I voted for was up there. I voted for not practicing proper spelling / grammar on social networking sites. 16%. I mean, it's such a pet hate.
It's awful. I've deleted people for that, have you? Deleted Facebook friends for the terrible grammar.
I know. It's like, you learn how to write, you know, in school, and then... somehow, when you're placed in front of a keyboard, you just lose all ability.
Yeah, lol. You is not wrong.
No. Well, if that's our, as sitting here as three journalists, if that's our competition coming up for jobs in the future, I'll be quite happy for them to continue using poor grammar.
No probs.
Something that wasn't up there that I really wanted to go for was people referring to the iPod Touch as the iTouch. It drives me mental. Like, my flatmate does it and I want to tear his face off whenever he does it. It just pisses me off beyond comprehension. iPod Touch.
That's what it is.
That's what it's called. You own one. It has a box that says iPod Touch on
the front.
Speaking
of which, just the Touch, if you wanted to give it a little sort of more colloquial name.
Well, we're on this matter, iPhone 4, iPhone 4G, iPhone...
Well, on the website, announced the name yet, haven't they? So.
We've decided to call it iPhone 4 for now on the website. So.
Yeah, all right, good. Okay, I'm glad I'm not alone. Dunk, what did you go for?
Well, I haven't voted, I must admit, but I think I would go for lovey-dovey Facebook relationship posting. Not so much on Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook. But I don't want to be horrible, but you get this a lot on sort of gay dating sites where you get people who are on there and it's like... You see them on there one week and it'd be like, oh, just looking for friends because I'm going out with the best guy in the world and they're very happy. And, you know, they'll be on there under the name of something like Sex Pig 57 or whatever. And then the following week, like that bit, that won't be there anymore. And it'll be like, looking for complete strangers for sex in the gutter.
That's always the... I mean, that's the worst way of being dumped, isn't it? On Facebook, to read your partner's status as single.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's a lot... what? That's a lot crueler than you get on that. It's like, oh, so it didn't work out so well with that guy then. Oh, right.
Never mind.
Sorry about that.
Oh, your life partner.
I don't mind lovey-dovey so Facebook status updates, lovey-dovey ones. I don't mind that too much. It's nice, I think.
But there's always that one, you know, has just got engaged and you've got to wade through all the pictures and, you know, it's like rock.
Yeah, no, I think on Facebook I wouldn't mind it so much. I am just specifically thinking of gay cruising sites. So people try and make out some kind of romantic intent.
That's what you think about. There we go. I wondered in the studio.
Covered some subjects this week, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh, well, there is still time to give your opinion on teether.com, where you can also vote in the awards.
Please do.
Is it teether.com/awards?
Awards.t3.com.
There we go.
Awards.t3.com.
I think both work, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
There we are.
They do.
We're both right. remember, you can find all the latest on teether.com. T3 is on the shelves, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast. T3 Podcast in association with the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 with Timescape. See your calls, texts, emails, tweets, and updates all together on one screen. See it in store or visit sonyericsson.com/X10.